This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
Now, Bitcoin on Wednesday hit a new all-time high of more than $66,000, surpassing its previous April peak as investors celebrated the successful launch of the first Bitcoin exchange-traded fund in the U.S.
The ProShares Bitcoin Strategy ETF dropped 5% since Tuesday's launch. Meanwhile, Bitcoin itself breaking out to a new all-time high before pulling back a bit.
Bitcoin is back in the news. The cryptocurrency reached a new peak of over $66,000 or almost rupees 50 lakh last week. This is just 3 months after it was trading at a discount of over 50% over its peak value. Investors seem to be excited about the launch of the first Bitcoin exchange-traded fund, or ETF, in the US. In its wake, other cryptocurrencies too are gaining value. Back home in India, a new startup Bollycoin made news after it revealed its plans of starting a Bollywood NFT marketplace. Actor Salman Khan was brought on board for the marketing, making a big splash. It seems Salman Khan's experience with paper currency in Maine Pyar Kiya made him hop on the NFT bandwagon.
Shart rupaye kamane ki thi, kagaz ke tukde nahi. इन रुपयों का क्या मोल? ये तो गल चुके हैं, बेकार हो चुके हैं। इन गले हुए रुपयों से तू मेरी बेटी को क्या दे सकता है? कुछ नहीं।
NFTs or non-fungible tokens are based on the same blockchain technology that also runs the cryptos. All this brings back the spotlight on cryptocurrencies. Are they even legal in India? The digital assets lie in a grey area as far as regulations are concerned.
We are dealing with a very different kind of an animal. The existing laws are like sledgehammer. If you use them blindly, you would possibly have to shut down all crypto exchanges.
But investors seem unfazed. Call it FOMO, the fear of missing out, or calculated risk. But Indians are rushing to make cryptos a part of their portfolio. Thanks to the marketing campaigns of crypto exchanges, investors are pouring in from the length and breadth of the country.
We are actually seeing participation from Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities as well. If I just have to take the sample of yesterday alone, then maybe half of them are between Tier 2 and Tier 3 as compared to the Tier 1 cities like Bangalore, Delhi, Mumbai, Pune, etc.
So where does the future of cryptocurrencies lie? Is it the technology of the future or a fad that will die soon? Why are young Indians increasingly betting their money on crypto? And more importantly, should you buy into the crypto fever? From the Economic Times, I am Nehal Chalyawala and you are listening to The Morning Brief.
Wo sab to theek hai, par Bitcoin liya kya?
To get a better sense of why people are investing in cryptocurrencies, we spoke to Vikas Pasulkar, a Pune-based engineer who started dabbling in cryptocurrencies last year.
So from past 1 year, I have been investing in crypto. This lockdown period actually got me a lot of time to research on this. So like every other guy, the Bitcoin got me interested in this. As you all know that Bitcoin surged very drastically in past 5 to 6 years. And after that, I started researching that what actually is crypto or what is blockchain about.
Vikas is like many other young professionals from big Indian cities. Recently graduated college, has a good job, has an active interest in investing his money, and doesn't mind taking some risk. He is well aware of the volatility, or the rate at which the prices of cryptocurrencies change. But the lure of higher returns in the long term keeps him interested. Experts agree with Vikas. Trends in cryptocurrencies are hard to predict. Even after a significant move in prices, people can only make a guess at what could be the possible reasons. The volatility is unlike any other asset. And if someone tells you that the returns are risk-free, think of it this way. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. just like the scheme that Akshay Kumar was peddling in Hera Feri 2.
एक स्कीम है, अमीरों की स्कीम मेरे हाथ लगी है। 25 दिन में पैसा डबल।
25 दिन में पैसा डबल।
So here's Sathvik Vishwanath, the co-founder and CEO of crypto exchange Unocoin, explaining what has been happening to Bitcoin over the last 6 months.
See, when it comes to cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, right? So it's comparatively tough to understand the exact reason that the price is a little bit going down or going up as such. But however, when we did see the peak at about $65,000 or $64,000 about 6 months ago, that was actually gained in a very small span of time. So due to which it kind of was unstable is what I could say. Now it has actually reached the all-time high again, surpassing the peak that we did see about 6 months ago. But at least when we see why it has gone up within the last 2 months, it's definitely because of a lot of institutional interest. It's not happening in India yet, but at least when it comes to a lot of other developer countries, they are seeing a lot of these corporations or private limited and public limited companies, the publicly traded companies, taking their board consents and trying to have some part of their balance sheet in crypto as a mechanism of hedging towards any kind of hyperinflation or global recession, etc.
Some also attribute a part of the decline in the prices of cryptos to China banning mining in the country. One can't keep China out of global developments these days, can we? Our neighbor accounted for 75% of global mining of Bitcoin. What is mining? Think of it this way. Instead of a bank maintaining all the records of all the transactions conducted by its customers, cryptocurrencies decentralize bookkeeping, with everyone having a copy of the ledger. Just like nosy neighbors who know the ins and outs of everyone's life in the neighborhood, everyone on the blockchain knows about all the transactions. That is the reason why technology experts rally behind cryptocurrencies, as they eliminate the risk of fraud. To maintain these ledgers, computers need to solve complex mathematical problems. This problem solving slash bookkeeping is what we call mining. For their efforts, miners get new bitcoins or whatever cryptocurrency they are mining. All good so far, right? But the only problem is that this process consumes a lot of electricity. Like a lot. By some estimates, Bitcoin mining consumes more electricity every year than the entire country of Finland. Go figure. Miners moved to other countries from China overnight, and the US soon emerged as the largest mining destination.
A lot of people in China had figured out how to mine the Bitcoin at as much cheap as possible, which was giving them a better return in total. Right. So, but however, this is also not the first time when we are hearing China banning Bitcoin. This probably is the seventh time within the last eight to nine years. But however, this time it was comparatively, as far as the news is concerned, became quite significant. And every time this kind of news has cracked by China, there was some kind of fluctuations in price. But the first one probably that happened in 2014, we saw a dip of about 50% price at one shot within like a matter of a couple of hours. But however, now I think it has become much more resilient. And this kind of news is hardly affecting just like a few percentage. On the other side, when you remove a method for some people to mine Bitcoin at a cheaper prices, it also means that someone else in other countries will have to be paying more and their selling price would increase. So it's kind of, I think it'll eventually give rise to a better pricing and higher prices.
While China has taken a hard stance against cryptocurrencies, India is still to give a clear verdict. The government has been working on cryptocurrency bill for quite some time now, but it is yet to be tabled in the parliament. Here is what Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman had to say about cryptocurrencies earlier this year.
We are very clear that we are not shutting all options off. We will allow a certain amount of a window for people to use, so that experiments in the blockchain, the Bitcoin or whatever you may want to call it, the cryptocurrency experiments and fintech, which depend on such experiments, will have that window available for them. We are not going to shut it off all. But yet, what kind of a formulation, even for a crypto, will have to be the content of the cabinet note, which will get ready soon.
ET's associate editor Sugato Ghosh has been closely tracking the regulatory space around cryptocurrency. Here's his take on what can be expected from the government.
We keep on hearing that there is some movement on the bill, but I'm not too sure whether this would be placed in the winter session of the parliament. I have my doubts. But my personal feeling is that unless there is a big scandal or fraud, an outright ban on cryptos would be construed as an attack on fintech. Because cryptos, after all, is a variant of fintech. It's a combination of finance and technology. So do you really want to do that? Do you want to be like China? And particularly when global private equity funds are turning away from China and investing in Indian fintech companies. So the government probably is in a catch-22 situation. On one hand, RBI has made it very clear that this private virtual currencies, as the central bank describes cryptos, serve no purpose. It has made it very clear. On the other hand, New Delhi doesn't want to come across like China. So my understanding is that cryptos in some form will survive.
While the government figures out how to treat cryptocurrencies, investors in India are flocking the market. Here's Sathvik breaking down the demography of crypto investors in India.
I think it falls between 25 to 40. So that's kind of very, that probably will take more than 60-65% of the total market that is available to us. It kind of falls under this particular age group, right? And about 70% of them, or maybe 75% of them, are male. So comparatively female are less involved with this. And till 3-4 months ago, say more than 80% of them were from metropolitan cities and towns. But now we are actually seeing participation from tier 2 and tier 3 cities as well. So we are yet to exactly understand how the split will be eventually.
Among Indian investors, Bitcoin continues to be the most popular token, followed by the likes of Ether, XRP and others. Even lesser known tokens and joke tokens like Dogecoin and Shiba Inu have gotten their fair share of money as investors chase high returns.
Well, rightly or wrongly, it has captured the imagination. It is the ease of trading and the flexibility. It's easier to open a crypto trading account than a stock demat account. There are no brokers. There is 24/7 trading. 7 days a week you can trade. One of the things the crypto advocate says that a person actively trading stock often does it at the cost of neglecting his regular work. But a crypto investor doesn't have to do that. He can come back home and trade late in the night. And that this is an environment that appeals to investors. And the very charm of dealing with something new is irresistible to many of them. And if you step back and look at the entire thing from a more philosophical point, the origin of cryptocurrencies was largely driven by the mistrust towards central banks and the sovereigns. And cryptos really prospered after the financial meltdown. It is again prospering now when we have another crisis like the pandemic.
While cryptocurrencies are gaining interest globally because they promise decentralizing the financial services industry, in India it's not the same. Not all are investing in them to bring about a technology revolution. At least in India, most investors are in it to make a quick buck.
So right now, I think people are looking at it as an alternative investment mechanism, even though if it is not significantly just for money making, and they're diversifying the portfolio to have this as well, to accommodate, they're accommodating it. They don't want to scratch their head about what is decentralized ledger and why it's even valuable. In India, we actually have a very well established networks for doing payments. But that is not the way when we see most of the other countries, apart from maybe a dozen of them who have such kind of significant fast and free rails for within the country transactions. So if I try to say this is a digital currency or an asset that can be used to send money from one place to one place. I mean, their normal reaction is, yeah, they're already using Paytm for it. Why do they need Bitcoin, right? So it's tough for someone to really understand.
What is also not helping improve investor literacy in this space are the advertisements. The ads by cryptocurrency exchanges play on the FOMO factor. Unlike ads by mutual funds or banks, which try to explain how the investment will work, crypto ads focus on just one thing, Bitcoin liya kya?
Bitcoin khareedne par shayad aapki kismat khul jaye.
Kya baat hai sir, half day?
Aur subah bhi. Phir kaam gaya tel lene, office mail gaya spam mein.
I'm on it, sir.
Aur boss ka presentation bhaad mein.
बच्चे बच्चे को पता है कि सारी इन्वेस्टमेंट एक जगह नहीं करनी चाहिए।
बात बात पे काई को इतना इमोशनल होता है? इधर आ, बहुत हार्ड कुछ नहीं है, सब सिंपल है। ये देख, कोई लोड नहीं, कोई झंझट नहीं।
एंड नाउ इन द फ्रे फॉर इन्वेस्टर मनी आर एनएफटीज। नॉन फंजिबल टोकन्स आर यूनिक टोकन्स ऑन द ब्लॉकचेन नेटवर्क दैट कैन बी ओन्ड बाय ओनली वन पर्सन एट अ टाइम। इट कैन नॉट बी डुप्लीकेटेड। If tied to a piece of digital content like music, artwork, or video, it gives one an ownership of the content. Now the content can be duplicated by anyone, just like people can paint or print copies of Mona Lisa. But only one person or entity can own it, like the Louvre in Paris. And everyone on the ledger knows who owns it, so counterfeits cannot be sold illegally. While this brings in a promise for digital artists to better monetize their work, it has resulted in a gold rush among investors for buying NFTs in hopes of returns just like cryptocurrencies. An artwork by digital artist Beeple was sold for almost $70 million earlier this year. Now that's serious money. Now platforms like Bollycoin and Chingari are trying to sell digital content like Bollywood memorabilia and short videos as NFTs in India. While Beeple is an established name in the art world, and one can be more or less certain of more people wanting to buy his work, that can't be said for all the millions of NFTs already out there, and there are millions more to be generated.
The number of investors who thinks it's valuable are humongous. But these people are the ones who are waiting for someone real to come and pick it up, who will actually pay money for them. That's where it actually gets tricky, right? So let's say if there is a painting and there are only X amount of people who want to buy it, and how many people have bought paintings in their lifetime, like the expensive ones, and how many NFTs exist. So that ratio is not even like coming closer or tallying, which makes it tricky. So which means it's kind of a bubble due to be burst sometime.
In summary, blockchain as a concept holds great promise, but success isn't guaranteed. It can fail to deliver like many technologies have in the past. Blockchain can solve many problems like money remittance and making unique certificates of ownership for digital content. There will be many more practical applications for the tech in coming days. But there clearly is a bubble building when people rush to put their money in this tech to make a quick buck. There is also a lack of clarity on the legality of the cryptocurrencies. While prices have reached an all-time high, the history is checkered with sharp falls, wiping billions of dollars of investor money in a matter of hours. FOMO could be a strong motivator. So if you want to invest, invest only as much money as you don't mind losing, so that you can earn the bragging rights when you meet your friends next time. And if you lose your money, it will still make for a cool story to tell, albeit an expensive one. That's all from us today. From The Economic Times, I am Nehal Chalyawala, and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited by Diya Rekhi and produced by Saundarya Jayachandran. Swati Joshi was the sound editor. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please consider sharing it on your social media handles. Share us your feedback. Write to us at themorningbrief@theratetimesgroup.com. That's themorningbrief@theratetimesgroup.com. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice day. Credits for all external clips used in this episode have been mentioned in the episode description.